I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel according to John chapter 21. John 21. I desire this morning that the Lord be pleased to speak through His Word to the hearts of His people. I know this. God's going to save His own. I know that. I know that. I don't know who they are. I know that He has elected a people from before the foundation of the world. I know that. And I know He's going to get them under the sound of the gospel. I know that. I pray that the Lord bless the Word today and save His own and comfort His own. I pray God speak to me. I need to hear. I'm a dying man. You're dying too. And we're going to stand before God. And all of a sudden, it's going to be real. For the first time, really, it's going to be real. I pray God have mercy on me and you. I want to look. We're in the last chapter of John. And coming down to the last few verses of John. Actually, what I'm wanting to look at this morning is found in that latter verse 12 of our passage where the Lord said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. But what I want to do is as I come up to that verse of Scripture, I want to just go back just a little bit and rehearse back in our memories, in our minds, some things that led up to that statement right there. I pray that the Lord calls us to remember this one thing for sure. Almighty God has mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. And if He didn't, we'd all be goners. This is a very sobering passage of Scripture. It is the unveiling of the Lord's mercy to undeserving sinners. There's nobody in this room this morning that deserves God's mercy. Nobody deserves it. I tell you what we deserve. We deserve for God Almighty to put every one of us in hell. That's what we deserve. To spend eternity separated from God. But God who has mercy. Over the last few days, from that when the Lord said to His disciples, come and dine, must have been a lot of things go through the minds of the disciples. One of the disciples in particular, Peter, was absolutely one of the most vocal of all of the Lord's disciples. Whenever, back in John 6, and I'm going to read a lot of these verses. You want to jot them down, that's fine, but I'll just read them for the sake of time. But not long before, there were a group of disciples, this is in John 6, they were following the Lord, and the Lord made a statement to them. He said, no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. The word can, we've gone over this before, means ability. No one can. No one can. No one can come to me. They listened to what the Lord said and the Scripture said. That's a hard saying. That's a hard saying when you start talking about no one can. No one has the ability. And many of them turned and left and followed Him no more. I'm not going to hear that. Now here's the Lord speaking. The Lord said that. And somebody say, I'm not going to hear that. I'm not going to hear sovereign grace. I'm not going to hear that. And the Lord turned to His disciples and He said this, will you go away too? Will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, where are we going to go? You're the one that has declared Yourself sovereign. The Father sovereign. The Holy Spirit sovereign. God sovereign. And Lord, where are we going? Peter gave the right answer. I'm going to tell you something. A believer's faith is going to be tried to prove God's faithfulness to him. He's going to try the faith of his people. And then the Lord said in Matthew 26, 31, 35, then saith Jesus unto them, this is on the night that he's going to be betrayed. He said, ye shall be offended this night. You'll be offended because of me. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus saith to him, verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. You know what they said to the Lord? You don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, but your word is not the way it's going to be. Now that's what they said. You're going to deny me, all of you are going to be offended. Peter said, not me. Oh, may the Lord keep us from that haughty spirit. That's what comes before fall. I will never, I'll die before I'll offend you. Before I would deny you. And then in Luke 22:54. To 62, that the fulfillment of the Lord's prophecy was marvelously recorded. Then took they him, led him, brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed afar off. And when they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were sat down together. Peter sat down among them, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And Peter denied him. That's what it says. Peter denied him. Denied the Lord. Saying, woman, I know him not. After a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Peter said, man, I'm not. About the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him. For he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'll never do this. The Lord had just told him that. He said, you're going to do it tonight, Peter. You're going to do it tonight. Peter remembered. And then Mark's account records something of the loving affection and faithfulness of the Lord. The Lord said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. Now you think about what's happened. Peter affirmed, you know, we ain't going nowhere. You're the Christ. Where are we going to go? I'll never deny you. And then after the Lord's resurrection, Mark 16, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, had brought sweet spices which that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre, the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away. It was great. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted. He said unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Especially tell Peter. Tell the one that had just denied him three times after he was told that he was going to. The one that did it right in the hearing of the Lord. The Lord just looked at him. You go tell his disciples. You tell Peter. And then the Lord met with them the first time after his resurrection in John 20, the same day, that day that he was raised, at evening, being the first day of the week. When the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now, we went over this, but I'm going to say it again, just for memory. No man born in Adam can retain or remit sins. There's a false religion that says you go and you sit down and talk to this guy through this little box and he can, you know, forgive sins. No, he cannot. No one can forgive sins but God. What does this mean? What the Lord was saying, he says, the message of the gospel of free grace that you preach, he said, the declaration of that gospel is the declaration whereby sins are remitted by God, are retained according to God's purpose to leave a man to himself. It's through the preaching of the gospel. No man born in Adam can forgive sins. No, sir. I grew up somebody trying to teach me, tell me that men could forgive sins. No, they cannot. That's a lie. Anybody that says that this guy right over here, this fella, can forgive sins, he's lying to you. Well, at that meeting, Thomas wasn't there. And when they told him, the other disciples told him, said, we've seen the Lord. Thomas, the Lord met with us tonight, today. And Thomas said this, except I see in his hands the prints of his nails, put my finger in the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Faithlessness. Denial. Forsaking. 8 days later, the Lord, who had promised to never leave them, met with them again. Thomas was there that night. And he said to Thomas, Peter was listening, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. When the Lord told Thomas, be not faithless, with that word went the power, and Thomas believed him. That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command.
Then in John 21,
after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And you know, here again, we just went over this. When Peter said, I go a fishing, he wasn't going out just for an afternoon of enjoyment. This is what he said. I quit. I'm done. It's over for me. I'm going back to what I was doing before he called me. I'm not going to do this anymore. It's over. I go a fishing. Gave you that example, same one when the Lord asked him, will you go away also? It means to depart. Look it up. It means I am finished with him. Would a man say that? The Spirit of God says he would. The other says, we're going to accompany you. We're going with you. Now the Master, who's watched them in their rebellion, watched them with an eye of compassion from the shore and mercy, and he calls to them in their struggling. Now here we come right up to where we're about to finish this passage for this morning. He said, children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? How you doing on your own? How's it going for you? Y'all doing okay? Have you had any meat? No. He said unto them, cast the net on the other side, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. These guys were professionals. They knew the Sea of Galilee. This is where they're from. This is what they did. They knew the best spots. They weren't amateurs. Have you caught anything? No. No. You cast over here, and you will catch. And they cast the net, just like the Lord said. And 153 fish got in that net. You know why? God said to 153 fish, get in the net. And there they were pulling that net in. And while they were pulling that net in, those who had not recognized him before, the one whom Jesus loved, John, looked and saw the Lord standing on the shore. And he said to Peter, it's the Lord. Oh, what a mind full must have been in Peter's mind right then. How could I have been so unfaithful? How could I have made such a rash statement? How could I so easily leave him? And how could I have allowed myself to leave these to go with me? How could I have said that? I'm leaving. How could I have denied him? How could I have acted in such a way? But oh, in the struggles of Peter, the evidence of the Lord's faithfulness to never leave Peter to himself manifested itself. verse 7 of John 21, "Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat and said unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." Now these last few verses is where I want to just look for just a moment. Verse 8, John 21, verse 8 through verse 11, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all were there so many, there were so many, yet was not the net broken." Who spoke? The Lord. This is the only recording of a conversation. The Lord said, verse 10, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." I want you to notice the silence of those disciples. Verse 9 says verse 8, they were dragging the net fish. Verse 9 said they came and they saw fire coals and fish were there. The Lord told them, He said, "Bring the fish which you've now caught." Simon Peter goes and starts helping, pulling in. Nobody's talking. Habakkuk 2:20, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." Zephaniah 1:7, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice; He hath bid His guest." Here's the situation. You're exposed. Don't try to justify your rebellion. Be quiet. Just be quiet. The best thing in the world to do, a sinner shown and exposed for what he is, be quiet. These disciples were standing in His presence totally by grace. He did not have to be there. They realized that which they had said and done had been so disrespectful, and now it's time to hush. They're dragging the catch that the Lord has miraculously placed within the net. And the Scripture says they come, in verse 9, to the land, they saw a fire of coals there. Do you know there's only one other reference in all the Scriptures of a fire of coals being witnessed? You know when it was? Just a few days before. I'll read you the Scripture. John 18:18, "And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Who but the Lord would truly know what went through the mind of Peter when he looked at that fire of coals and surely remembered the last time I looked on something like this, I forsook Him. The last time that I saw this, I denied Him three times according to His Word. And now, by the grace of God, I'm being able to stand here and look at Him meet every need I have, physical and spiritual. Then the Lord says in verse 10, "Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." The emphasis is on the word "now caught," which you've now caught. What could they do without him? They'd fished all night. They'd done nothing. Caught nothing. And at his command, 153 fish. And the net didn't break. Oh, again, to the natural man, you know, I'm sure skill, cunning, strength, knowledge would be attributed to such a catch. But to those taught of God, the Lord receives all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. No boasting. I want you to bring the fish that you've now caught. But I tell you this, what regenerated sinner would fail to remember the parable of the Lord concerning the kingdom of heaven? Matthew 13:47-49. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, but there was something else about that 153 fish. Yet was not the net broken. Almighty God is going to gather all of His elect, all of His sheep, all of His fish. He's going to gather them, and the net is not going to be broken. We're going to be kept by the power of God. Through faith, believing God Almighty has kept me. I can tell you this, these disciples didn't keep themselves. All they had ever done was rebel. Purpose in their heart, I quit. Remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah said that all of the problems that he'd gone through and all of the fightings and the resentment from everything. I mean, you just got to a point to where after a while you think, you know what? I'm done. I'm done. I ain't fooling with this anymore. It's more than I can bear. Jeremiah says, I will not preach His word anymore. I quit. He said, but His word was in my bones like fire. And I couldn't. I couldn't quit. I couldn't quit. If I could, I would. If I can leave, I will. I will leave. I will leave. But I tell you this, if I don't, it's only by the grace of God. John 6:39 says, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Who told the disciples where to fish? The Lord. Who put the fish in the net? The Lord. Who kept the net from breaking? The Lord. You know the conclusion of that? Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by the grace of God. Now, all of these verses that I read before, will you go away also? Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You'll deny me 3 times before the night's over. No, I won't. He did, and the Lord looked at him. Thomas said, if I don't see the nailed prints, I ain't going to believe. Peter says, I'm leaving. I'm done with this. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to what I did. We'll go with you, Peter. Peter, it's the Lord. And what is the word of the Lord to all those who so disrespectfully denied Him, forsook Him, fled the night, the day of His crucifixion, All of them fled. All of them were scattered. All of them. What was his word to them who were so disrespectful? He said, come and dine. Come and dine. In closing, Jesus saith unto them. The Lord is speaking specifically to somebody. How many people lived in that general area right there? How many lived around the Sea of Galilee? I don't know. I don't know. But let me ask you this. Who did the Lord speak to? He spoke to them. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And listen to this word. They follow me. Yep, Lord, I'm just like Peter. I'm just like Peter. I'm just like Thomas. I'm just like the other disciples. And you say, I follow you? Jesus saith unto them, come. I love looking up words. I want to know what they mean. I want to know exactly what they mean. This word, you look up the word C-O-M-E. C-O-M-E. It's got a list of definitions this long in Strong's Concordance. It's just never ending. This word right here, this specific word is a word spoken where there's two or more people involved, and it's a specific word that always is followed by an imperative command. Come hither. Come here. Come now. My kids was growing up. If I said to them, now you kids, when y'all get through playing, y'all come on in the house. Okay? Well, when you get through playing, you know, it's kind of open-ended there. But if I said to Gabe or Sarah or Hannah or Becca, you come here right now. Do you know that's a different word? This is what I mean. I mean you get here now. I mean now. This is that word. Come. And dine. Come and dine. Here's an imperative command that is given by the Lord. You come and dine. You come now. You come right now. The word dine is a word that is actually breakfast. It's interpreted breakfast. But actually means the first food. The first food. Now, there's no doubt that the Lord exhorted them to be in union with Him. You dine. You dine with me. Sit down with me. You don't supply, I supply. You come dine. Last night, Howard and Paula Deedy, Granny and I, we went out and got us a bite to eat. And you know what we did? We sat around and we ordered our food. And then we dined. I mean, we were eating. We did eat. But there was something else that was going on between it. We were having company together. You know, it was my family. You know, I knew every one of them that was sitting there. I didn't know all those other people. I don't know who those people are. But I tell you what, I knew the other five that were sitting there. That was my family. I grew up, you know, knowing that's my mama. That's my brother. That's my sisters. That's my wife. We were all sitting there, dining, fellowshipping together. Oh, the depth of the union of the Lord. In spiritually feasting upon Him. You cannot fathom this. But I'll tell you this. Whenever a believer sits down, we're sitting here together. And here's what we're doing. We're dining. Dining on the bread Himself. You tell me one more time. I want you to go ahead and just be up front with me and tell me what I am by nature. You tell me, this is when the gospel is preached, the savor of this truth is going to come come forth. Man is ruined by the fall. You listen to the gospel. Man is a rebel against God. That's you know, I'll tell you the second thing you're going to hear. God Almighty is merciful to His people. God is sovereign in electing, redeeming, regenerating grace. Here's what we've heard. Man is a rebel against God. And Almighty God is merciful to His people. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. When we feast on the bread of heaven Himself, here's what we're feasting on. He put away my guilt. He died in my stead. He was made sin for me. He who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The bread of heaven is the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Scripture says, and none, verse 12, of the disciples durst ask Him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. Nobody dared ask Him. They knew that it was the Lord. Remember, His visage was marred more than any other man. He was beat to a pulp. Scarred. Beaten. And now here He is in resurrected glory. And they're looking at Him and nobody dared ask who He was. I tell you this for a believer. No believer dares question that the Lord is in the presence of His people. Peter, it's the Lord. And Peter, by the grace of God, and every other regenerated saint is going to go to Him. My sheep come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord add His blessing to the hearing and understanding of the gospel for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's take a